Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, what's up, dude?
Good morning, dudes. How we doing?
Hi, buddy.
So Chewy is back here in Wisconsin. Picked a heck of a week to come back from Florida to come to Wisconsin when it's, 13 below or whatever it is outside. You know, school's getting canceled all over the place. But the problem now, Jason, is Chewy's bored. He doesn't know what to do today. He can't work out. He's going to do do some treadmill, do that for about, half hour or so after the show. But he doesn't know what to do after that. Do you have any suggestions on what the big guy can do with the rest of his day today?
Well, wait a minute. Why can't he work out? The gym? No,
I got a bad tennis elbow, Jason. Kind of been on the shelf a little bit.
Yeah, he blew out a sack, and then that kind of kept going, and he's been working on it.
God, is it a dude Tuesday if Jen is here and we drop and he blew out his sack? She'd be on board with that, right? She's kind of one of the guys. It's funny. We were actually dealing with the same issue. Not a blown out sack, but what do you do when it's bitterly cold and you have the day to yourself? Because the girls are, school's canceled today up here. And Sid and her basketball teammates got done with practice last night. And they were all kind of talking about, what do we do with our day off of school? I said, why don't you guys do something together? So I think the local bowling alley is open still, even though it's cold. They think it might be doing that or something. So I don't know which sack you blew out, but bowling very popular here in Wisconsin.
Jason, do you ever
together with some of your teammates?
Do you ever go to the stadium just to get away? Go to your office there.
I do actually, and except I can't do that anymore because they're renovating the Packers locker room this off season, and temporarily, so like for OTAs and the mini camp, and for guys to come in and work out with intact sacks, they're using the new third locker room that they just built, which is right by where all of our offices are. So I can't, they were like telling us to get everything we might need out of our offices because we won't get back in until training camp. And so all my poor bobbleheads will have to just live without me for a very long time. But yeah, I do. It's great to, and look, I give the Packers, I criticize them when I feel it's deserved, but there aren't many teams that have beat writers who have their own offices at the facility. And so I'm extremely appreciative of that.
Jason, when you watched the games this weekend, the divisional round games, did you feel that the Packers were close to those teams in the NFC? They have some work to do, but they can get there with a couple of key additions this offseason. How close do you think the Packers are to the other teams in the NFC divisional round?
Yeah, great question, but I looked at it from a different perspective.
Oh, okay.
So we were driving back. The girls had a gymnastics meet in Eau Claire. So we were driving back during the Chiefs game and listening to Kevin Harlan on the call. And then I got to see the rest of the games, more or less. Missed pieces of them. But I thought what I saw underscored what the difference is between the Chiefs, a perennial Super Bowl team, or what is it now, 7 years in a row in the AFC Championship game?
I believe that's correct.
Crazy.
And not just the Packers, but the Ravens, the Lions, and that is the good teams don't beat themselves. And so many times I heard from Love and from the receivers and from Xavier McKinney, you know, we don't feel like we got beat. We feel like we beat ourselves. Well, guess what? The best way to be in seven straight conference championship games is to not beat yourself. And the Packers did it in every game they lost because they're not good enough,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's what that's the differentiator. Like, we keep talking, you know, we keep looking at them and you know, all their young talent and this and that and the next thing. And I thought, like, the Chiefs didn't play great in that game. Right? They were dominant. Mm-hmm. We always are looking for the Packers to be dominant. And it reminded me, you guys know I love the movie Moneyball. And there's a scene where, you know, where Billy Beane, played by Brad Pitt, is talking to the A's players. And he says, when your enemy's making mistakes, don't interrupt them. And I feel like the Packers, like, you can't turn the ball over four times in a playoff game and have any prayer of winning. But I still can't get over the fact that in the fourth quarter, it was 16-10 because their defense played as well as they did. So, you know, that was my biggest takeaway from the four divisional games, because the Packers, that's the difference between being a really good team and not. Is you may punt on a bunch of possessions, right? You may allow a long drive and then force a field goal. But if you give up a 70-yard touchdown defensively, or you turn the ball over offensively, or you have guys running routes at the wrong depth, or you drop passes all the time. Like, I think I saw a stat during the Lions game that they had six drops all year, and then they had three in the game. That's how you lose playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
And Chu, I don't know how many, like, I don't know, maybe the Cowboys games are a good example from your era, but I feel like when you guys were really humming, not only were you dominant at times, but you just didn't beat yourself. And that just feels like something that the Packers and many of the other teams that lost this weekend were guilty of.
Jason, Ben Johnson to the Bears. What does that mean? Obviously, it's going to hurt Detroit, you know, offensively, mm-hmm. or it might not. No, nobody knows. But does that mean now there's going to be four solid teams in the North, and this is going to be a dogfight for years to come?
Well, I don't know. What I saw on my formerly favorite, now least favorite, social media platform is now this makes Matt LaFleur the fourth best head coach in the division. I mean, gee, talk about not being appreciative
yeah.
of everything that this team has accomplished with him. And I get it. They haven't gotten to the Super Bowl, but to suggest now that some whiz kid who was a good play caller for the Lions is now going to be a better head coach. You know, maybe he will. Maybe he's going to be fantastic in Chicago, but last I checked, he did not invent football, and we're kind of treating him like that.
I mean, he's the one who called for his wide receiver to throw a play that got intercepted, Jason. So
yeah, that worked pretty well. Yeah, I thought that one was good. Yep. But look, the reality is that a couple of years ago, the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. Nick Sirianni looked like, you know, everyone loved Nick Sirianni, right? He was this, you know, different style of coach and this and that. And then he lost both of his coordinators to head coaching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they cratered at the end of the 23 season, you know, Philadelphians were ready to run him out of town. And then he got two good coordinators, and now he's back in position to go back to the Super Bowl. I would argue that those are really important. And how the Lions manage that and who replaces him, and probably Aaron Glenn, right? I mean, it sure looks like Aaron Glenn's either going to get the Jets job or maybe the Saints job. How they do that is going to dictate just how good of a coach Dan Campbell is, because they have an ethos to them that is legit. Like, I admit this all the time when I talk about Dan Campbell. I was a doubter. I watched Hard Knocks that year that they were on, and I was dubious on that the tough guy biting kneecap shtick. I thought that would wear thin on pro players and they would get sick of it. And I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. But that only takes you so far. And you better have smart people coordinating your offense and your defense, because execution matters, originality and ingenuity matters, and execution matters, even if you have that kind of attitude. So I'm eager to see what those guys are like next year. I do think Packers fans would have been even better off if the Lions had like made it to the Super Bowl and lost, because as Chewy well knows, the next year it's really hard, as opposed to, you know, those guys are like, hey, we had all these injuries and now we're pissed because we believe we'd have been in the Super Bowl had we not been so unlucky with injuries. So that's going to be a motivated team. I'm really curious what the Vikings are going to look like. You know, I got a good friend, Judd Zolgad, who covers them up in Minneapolis. I'm fascinated to see what they do at quarterback, because I think Kevin O'Connell is an outstanding coach, but I don't know how you get done with the season and watch Sam Darnold play the way he did in the two big money games, the regular season finale to win the division and in the playoff game, and not doubt him. So I think it's going to be a fascinating year, but I also think after going 0-3 in the playoffs, it's possible that all three of those so-called teams from the best division in football got fat on a bunch of bad divisional, the two division matchups that they had in the, outside their division, and that maybe they weren't as good as advertised.
Jason, Barry Alvarez famously talked about how, you know, he always had a list just in case, you know, somebody moves on, he's ready to go and hit the ground running with the list of candidates he would want to replace that person. Jeff Hafley's not going to get a job in this cycle, but he might get a job in the next cycle or the one after that. And this is something that LaFleur hasn't had to deal with because, well, nobody was asking Mike Pettine or Jill Barry Carroll to be a head coach anywhere. Is he going to have to spend some time this offseason preparing and maybe getting that list ready of potential people he's going to want to talk to for when Jeff Hafley potentially leaves?
I have no doubt that Matt LaFleur has a list already. Now, he does believe in promotion from within, right? I mean, they lost when they lost Nathaniel Hackett, he promoted Adam Stenovich, and Adam Stenovich got a head coaching interview with the Bears, although I think Chewy might have too.
Chewy turned his down.
Yeah.
Because, well, I don't know if he turned it down as much as he couldn't figure out how to open the Zoom link.
I would have had something to do today, though.
There you go. I mean, is Eddie George coaching?
Yeah, he's at Tennessee State.
Chewy's kid coaches on the staff.
Yeah.
So he's the head coach at Tennessee State?
Yeah.
And they interviewed him for the Bears job.
Correct.
Like, you know Eddie George was a fantastic NFL player. We all agree.
Yes.
And I'm sure you would never say anything bad about Tennessee State and the job he's doing, given whose employ your son is. But how many people did they interview ultimately before going with Ben Johnson? Like 25?
It was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot.
It was a lot.
So I would think, like, so I don't, my point was, I don't want to downgrade Adam Stenovich just because they interviewed a bunch of people. But, like, I think LaFleur was pretty confident knowing the previous year, because this is what happened. And forget the fact that he failed spectacularly since he left, right? Because Nathaniel Hackett not only failed with the Broncos, but then obviously failed with the Jets. But he got interviews in the previous cycle, too. And so I'm sure Matt LaFleur was like, all right, there's a good chance this guy's going to get a job. What's my game plan going to be? And I do think he believes in having a deep bench. Just like the Packers feel like in their personnel department, they've got people that if John Eric Sullivan gets a GM job, they've got people that can step into that role. So I would say, you know, I know Derek Ansley had an interview for a defensive coordinator job. He's been a DC before. They are really high on Ryan Downard, who is kind of a Jeff Hafley clone, mentored by him when they were together in Cleveland like 10 years ago. And Ryan Downard was like in his early 20s. So I don't know that they would make a outside hire next year or you know, heaven forbid it happens this year, because as a beat writer, I don't want him to get this job either. And I don't think anybody should take the Jets job, frankly, except maybe Chewy.
Well, it looks like that's going to be Aaron Glenn, by the way. The
right.
Jets
sure.
have one second interview scheduled with the head coach, and it's Aaron Glenn.
So, but to your point, there's no doubt that he's thinking about this, because I think, you know, in what he said after the season wrapped up, I think he realizes that he really made a home run hire with Jeff Hafley. And, you know, I understand that Preston Smith felt miscast in the system. I understand that they fired their defensive line coach in part because, you know, they underperformed in that department. But by and large, I think the feeling in that building is that Jeff Hafley is a damn good football coach, and he has the results now to back it up. So I would think that they want to make sure that they not only have people on their kind of ready list who can carry themselves in a similar way to keep that success going, but would keep the system in place too. And I think that's really important.
Jason, who fired Rebrovich? Was it Hafley or was it LaFleur, and is he the last one?
I think it's LaFleur, but I'm assuming that Jeff Hafley goes in and says, look, man, like, that didn't work in part because, you know, he wasn't able to teach what I want him to teach, and I've got a guy in Aaron Whitecotton who will fit the bill, who works for Sala and has worked in the system. Like, I would also add this. I just think I'm not convinced that group, even if, you know, Fritz Schirmer came back and coached them, would have been productive. I think it's possible that Goody just that they overestimated mm-hmm. how good their group was. Right. I mean, we'll see if they bring, for example, are they going to bring back TJ Slayton, or will his last act as a Packer be drawing that 15-yard penalty and telling me he wasn't talking on locker cleanout day? Will Kenny Clark bounce back? Cause I think based on that extension, I think they probably need to keep him another year, even though his production and his level of play dropped in the new system. And remember, he had never been in a 4-3 in his life, like not even in high school, I don't think, but definitely not in college and definitely not Green Bay. So that, to me, that's one of the most important things that they have to improve on in the offseason, is figuring out how do we get these guys to be productive, because LaFleur said it afterward. Like, the whole idea behind the system is that you don't have to blitz often.
Yeah.
You get pressure with four, mm-hmm. and they just never did.
Jason, certainly appreciate the time, bud. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Look forward to more from you and Tausch coming up at 9 a.m. this morning.
All right, guys. Good luck with your sacks. Take care. Be good.
That's nice of him. Wishing you well.
He is. He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy like that. Yes. We've got some more suggestions for what Chewy can do on the Carpless Talk and text line 800-990-3776, because he's back here in Wisconsin and he's bored because it's so cold. But we will also talk about Ben Johnson being the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. Coming up next, is your business looking for a localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years. And for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind, Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, it seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
On 94.5 ESPN.